In the last few weeks, Linda and I have spent quite a bit of time in airports. And while we waited for our flights to board, it was not uncommon to hear an announcement like this. Attention, passenger Ron Smith. This is your final boarding call for the Air France service to Paris. The doors will close in 5 minutes. Now, if you're Ron Smith, I hope you're sprinting for the gate, because if you don't get there, the doors will close and you'll miss your flight to Paris. Hopefully, Ron isn't in the airport bar knocking down his third margarita and watching his favorite soccer team play. That would be trouble for Ron Smith. Well, the book of Revelation, where we will be in today, and particularly these last verses in Scripture that we are going to read, are the final boarding call for everyone and our eternal destination, our eternal destiny is at stake. This is your final warning. And you've been wondering if I was ever going to get to the end of this series, and this is going to be it. Now, there's lots more warnings in Scripture, but we'll end with this one. This is your final boarding call, and you don't want to miss out on your eternal destination, your eternal destiny. As I read our Scripture this morning from Revelation chapter 22, let us hear the warnings and the promises and the invitation that are given in these final verses of Scripture. As I mentioned to the kids, every warning in Scripture is given so that we don't miss out on the good things that God has provided for us, that God has promised us in Scripture. It says that God is not slow about His coming, but He wants all to come to repentance and faith so they don't miss out. And so today, listen as we read from Revelation chapter 22. I'll begin with verse 6. It overlaps a little bit with what Pastor Nate has already read. But from Revelation, beginning with verse 26, these last verses of Scripture and the final warning. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack in front of you. The page number is listed in your bulletin. Revelation chapter 22, I read in Jesus' name. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us understanding and discernment of these words of this final warning in Scripture. Lord, help us to understand what it means for our lives and how to respond. Be our teacher this morning. Open your words to us so that we can understand them, not just with our minds, but Father, truly to know them and to desire for them to be fulfilled in our hearts and lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It says, these words are faithful and true. In other words, listen up. This is God's true word. The inspiration of the book of Revelation comes from God. It is specifically from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has told us these things because he doesn't want us to miss out. And so these indeed are warnings from heaven. These words come from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants us to heed, to keep what we hear. This ending of the book of Revelation really is a summary of the whole book, from verses 6 to the end of the chapter. The very last words of the Bible are a summary of everything else that is written in the book of Revelation. And it repeats several key truths given earlier in Revelation. In the very first chapter, John identifies himself and identifies that it is Jesus Christ who is revealing these things for the churches, and it ends the same way. It ends with the same blessing that it begins with. Blessed are those who heed or keep the words of this prophecy. You are blessed. In fact, the book of Revelation has more pronouncements of blessings than any other book in the Bible. God doesn't want us to miss out on his blessings. It's not that God is some sort of a spoilsport and wanting to punish us. He doesn't want us to receive his wrath. He wants us to receive his blessings. He doesn't want us to miss out. But here again, our final warning. And so there are three words, and if you've got your outline there, grab that. Open your Bible to this, because my words, I can stumble, I can stammer, I can make mistakes. And so you don't want to base your life on what I say, but what on God says. And so check me out here and get your Bibles open and let God speak to you this morning. And hopefully I'll be helpful in that regard, that God can use my stammering words in order to emphasize his true and faithful words. So there's three responses, three actions that we should have in our lives to respond to the warning that we are given. And the warning, first and foremost, is what Jesus says in, in verse 12, Jesus says, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense. In the NIV, it says reward, but recompense is the better word, which means getting what we deserve to repay each one for what he has done. And so Christ is coming, and he's coming in judgment. And we need to be ready. And we need to respond. And how can we respond in the right ways? Well, first, watch. Watch. And that word means to prepare, to anticipate what's coming. It's near. It's coming soon. So we need to prepare and anticipate and expect what is coming. It says, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angels to show his servants what must soon take place. Do not seal up the words of this prophecy, for the time is near. And three times it quotes Jesus saying, behold, I am coming soon. Now, we may wonder about how soon he's going to come. After all, it's been almost 2,000 years since these words were written. Well, how soon is he coming? Well, the word in the Greek language for soon can mean that, but it does not always and necessarily mean what we ordinarily would think about for the word soon, that it's going to come after a short space of time. The word in the Greek language can mean quickly or suddenly, unexpectedly or fast. So when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to come unexpectedly. All of a sudden, it's there. And it may happen today or tomorrow or the next day or sometime yet in the future. But when it happens, it's going to be sudden. And it's going to be without warning. This is the final warning. For instance, in Matthew 28, verse 8, it says that when the women discovered that the tomb was empty, it says they departed quickly from the tomb. And that's this same word for soon. It means that it will happen quickly or suddenly, unexpectedly. And of course, what the women experienced at the tomb that Easter Sunday morning was quite unexpected. To watch, to prepare, to anticipate what is coming. Jesus again and again warned us to watch. Watch therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour. Be ready. Be watchful. Watch, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Jesus warns us that we need to watch and be expectant and anticipate what's going to happen. Don't be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life. Watch, Jesus said. Be aware of falling away or getting so caught up in this life that we're not watching and anticipating and being excited for what is going to happen next. I almost use the word instead of watch to wake up. I mean, if you're going to watch, you better be awake. A soldier that falls asleep on his watch, there is a severe consequence for that. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, wake up, wake up. I come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Wake up, he says. Wake up and strengthen what remains. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. And so again and again in Scripture, it says, be watchful, watch yourselves, stay in the faith, stay connected to Jesus, watch your life, and don't get your life carried away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The second word that I think is helpful for us, first is watch. The second is worship. John saw some amazing things. And the angel that told him these things was so glorious that instinctively John fell down at the feet of this glorious being and began to worship the angel, the messenger. Oh, don't do that! The angel was just horrified. No, worship God. The angel was just reflecting God's glory. It was glorious, but it was just a reflection of God's glory. God's glory is seen in so many things of this world, in the beauty of this world. Whenever you see beauty, that's a reflection of God's glory. We got to see some beautiful, gorgeous scenes in our vacation. Beautiful mountains, of course, you all know that. Old castles and beautiful countrysides. But that's just a reflection of God's glory. And what we do is that we misplace our worship. We worship the wrong things because we're worshiping the things that reflect God's glory instead of worshiping the source of that glory. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, God gives many good gifts. And we can receive those good gifts, the gifts of relationships, and we can make that our end. We can be worshiping the possessions we have, or we can be worshiping the position that we have, and that's our focus, the things of this world. But God says, no, those are just reflections of His glory, and we need to be worshiping the one true God. And so worship is to worship His glory, His goodness, His kindness, and to do that with our whole heart. It's to be fully dedicated to Him. And if we're not worshiping Him with our whole heart, then we're really not worshiping Him in the way that He intends us to worship Him. Let me put that a different way. Jesus said we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength, all of our mind. You know, what part of all don't we understand? I mean, there's nothing left out. There's nothing held back. We're either all in or we're not truly worshiping God. And the whole book of Revelation is really about worship. And some of the greatest pictures of what heaven's going to be like is this worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, in Revelation chapter 5, it says, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." I mean, just this multitude of glorious angels saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. That is just worshiping the goodness and glory of God. And if we don't understand Him to be good and glorious and kind to us, if we don't have a picture of God in all of His glory and goodness, we're not going to be worshiping Him. We're going to be worshiping lesser things in our lives. Worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. And so our lives should be lives of worship. That is total dedication to God, total dependence upon who God is. And so we respond to this warning. First, by watching and watching out for ourselves. And second, by responding in worship and adoration of God. It's a daily thing. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? He said, "I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice," meaning give your, lay your whole life on the altar for God. Give it all to Him, "for this is your reasonable worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's what worship is all about. So first watch, then worship, and then welcome. And the operative word in welcome is come. Come. What does it say here about coming? Verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty, 'Come.'" We come to Christ by welcoming Him, by receiving Him in our life. The word often translated welcome in Scripture means to receive. And so we come, we respond to this invitation to come by welcoming Jesus into our hearts, into our lives, putting Him number one in all that we do, looking forward to His coming again. Verse 20 says, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.'" What should our response be? "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want Him to come, but only if we have already welcomed him into our lives. Let's take a look at one verse here that may be confusing to you. Go back to verse 10. And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer," verse 11, "let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." What does that mean? Why is it saying that if you're living a filthy and evil life, why should you just keep doing that? Well, what it's saying here is that when Christ comes, whatever state we're in, that's going to be our state for eternity. So if we are, when Christ comes and we are living evil and filthy lives, our reward is going to be the wrath of God and the lake of fire. This is the final warning. If that's what's important to us, if that's what we're worshiping in our lives, that which is filthy and evil, that's what we'll get for eternity. But if what is important to us is what is righteous and right and holy, if that's what is important to us, that's what we're watching out for in our lives, what we're worshiping God in our lives, doing what is right and holy, that's what's important to us. And that's what we'll receive for all of eternity. Again and again, the offer is an offer of grace. It's not of works. We think, well, you know, I gotta be perfect. No, we're imperfect people. But when we do what is evil or filthy, we come to Christ, as we heard at the very beginning of the service, that he is faithful and righteous and will forgive us our sins and purify us, make us clean. What does it say here in verse 14? "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city." How do we wash our robes? It tells us back in chapter 7, verse 14, that they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. We bring all of our sin, all of our failures to Jesus Christ, that it may be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. In verse 17, it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price." It's by grace. We can't pay the price. Jesus Christ has already paid the price. It is by grace that we receive the blessing for eternity. It's not our works, but we must respond to the grace of God, to bring our sins to Christ, wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb to be made clean. It's not our righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. "For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." One of my favorite verses is in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 61, that he has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. That's the robe that we are given. And it ends with verse 21, "And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all by grace. It's all by grace. God gives these warnings so that we don't miss out on the blessings, what God has prepared and promised for all who would repent and believe. You know, the saddest thing about the book of Revelation is this. There are 10 times that the word repent is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Half of those times are given in the first part of the book of Revelation, where Jesus is speaking to the churches, to believers, to those who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for those who have not been living their lives fully for God, he says, repent. You say that you're alive, but you're really spiritually dead. Repent. To those who are lukewarm, he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Repent. Turn to him by his grace and repent of our sins to make him first in our lives. And the sad part about the book of Revelation is that the other five times it mentions repentance, it says that even though they saw God's judgments, they refused to repent. And that's why it says, let him who is filthy and evil continue that way, because our hearts can become so hard that we refuse to repent. But this is the final warning. Repent and receive and welcome Jesus Christ for who he is, the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who gave so much for you. Oh, come, come to Jesus. Welcome him into your life, that we can say, amen, even so. Lord, come. I'm ready. Are you ready? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these aren't easy words, but they're so important. But they're words of grace. Lord, you are calling out to us, come and repent of our self-centeredness, of our self-sufficiency, of the evil and filth that so easily clings to our lives. I know it's true for me. Oh, Lord, come and cleanse me by the blood of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb who is enthroned in heaven for all eternity. Oh, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life that you may be truly Savior and Lord. Oh, Lord, wake us up. Help us to be fully watching, to be worshiping you with all of our heart and welcoming you in every part of our lives. Oh, Lord, help us to be ready when you come. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.